Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. It's just not fair. How many times have you heard those words? And how many times have you said those words? Because you don't have to teach people to notice when things are not fair. It comes naturally. Your child knows when they have been given the smaller piece of dessert or candy. You notice when your coworker is paid more than you for performing the same job. You notice that you are struggling financially. You are suffering physically. And there's your next door neighbor, the unbeliever, living a blessed life. It's not fair. Each of us is born with an acute sense of fairness, and especially when we're on the short end of the scale, we especially notice that things are not equal. But the truth is, life is not fair. While living on this side of heaven, in the kingdom of the world, under the rule and reign of sinful people, life is not fair. Especially for Christians. And that makes you and me want to accuse God of being unfair to us. But the kingdom of heaven, that is, the rule and reign of God in Christ Jesus, has nothing at all to do with fairness. Because if God were fair, He would give each one of us here this morning exactly what we deserve. We wouldn't last a moment. In His righteous judgment, He would wipe you and me and all mankind off the face of the earth. And if He were completely fair, you and I would spend eternity in the damnation of hell, which is exactly what we deserve. So the good news is, God is not fair. He is much greater than fair. He's gracious. He's merciful. He's forgiving. He's holy. He's just and righteous. And in the parable of the laborers in the vineyard, Jesus illustrates this. He illustrates God's generosity, and His divine grace in the kingdom of heaven. That is, in His rule and reign in Christ Jesus. When we think of human generosity, we know people who are generous. They freely and liberally give things that perish in this world. But God's generosity, He freely and liberally gives the imperishable. Imperishable divine grace and mercy, which by its very nature is given out regardless of any worth or merit. His divine grace is compassionate love toward sinners, pouring out all His riches upon you at the expense of His Son, Christ Jesus, on the cross. Our gospel parable this morning immediately follows a continuation of Jesus' teaching how difficult it is to get into the kingdom of heaven. By human reason and wisdom, entrance into heaven is not fair. Human reason and wisdom never seems to get it right. We heard it in our Old Testament lesson. Our ways are not God's ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But a rich young man came to Jesus and went away sad, devastated, after hearing how difficult it is to get into heaven. He had confidence in his ability to keep all of God's law. He thought he could keep it to the letter, yet his conscience told him he still lacked something. So he asked Jesus, "What else must I do?" He wanted something to do, so Jesus gave him something to do. "Go sell all you have, all your possessions, and give it to the poor. Then you will have treasure in the kingdom of heaven." Well, you know the young man went away sorrowful because he had many great possessions. And as the rich man goes away, the disciples are befuddled. They're scratching their heads because, wow, how difficult it is for someone to get into the kingdom of heaven, a rich person. It's so difficult that it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to get into heaven. Well, the disciples are shocked. They don't know what to say. Peter says, it doesn't sound fair. What else? How can we possibly be saved if this is the standard? So Jesus teaches them and us the parable we have in our text today. Illustrates that the kingdom of heaven, that is God's rule and reign in Christ Jesus, heavenly inheritance is not given out as earthly inheritances are commonly given. In the rule and reign of God in Christ, God is the master. And since God is the master, he can and he will do with his own things as he pleases, all according to his merciful pleasure. And for you and me, what counts at the end of the day is the master's generosity, God's generosity. Jesus begins by saying, for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of the house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Early in the morning, the master needs workers in the vineyard. He goes to the marketplace. Early in the morning, those hanging out looking for a job, well, those are the hard workers. He negotiates a price, one denarius for 12 hours of work. A full day's work, a full day's pay. He's got hard workers. Everybody's good. They head off to the vineyard. But it's a big job. So a few hours later, he goes back to the marketplace and finds others standing idle. And he tells them, go into the vineyard and I will give you what is right, not specifying an amount. Later again, and later again, the same process of sending laborers into the vineyard. And finally, one last time, at the 11th hour, the last hour of the day, he sees these folks hanging out in the marketplace. Guys that no one else would hire. There's a reason they're loafing in the marketplace. But he sends them into the vineyard with 1 hour to go. And he makes no promise of paying them. He merely says, go. Well, the focus of the parable is on the first ones and the last ones, because they are the polar opposites. The first ones have an agreement, one denarius, 12 hours. The last ones have no agreement. They have no guarantee. They just go out into the harvest, into the vineyard and work. The first ones, 12 hours, hard labor, scorching sun, working their fingers to the bone. The last ones, probably less than an hour of actual work. And at the end of the day, the owner of the vineyard says to the paymaster, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. He pays them in reverse order, in the order that they were hired. So the thought of the parable here is, so you put yourself into the parable. You are one of the first ones. You made an agreement. You worked your fingers to the bone all day long. And as a first one, you're watching the paymaster pay the last ones. And he gives the last ones a full day's wage. What's going through your mind? Wow, this master is generous. He's giving the last ones a full day's pay. They worked an hour, a full day's pay. What is he going to give me? Because I'm one of the first. I worked hard all day long. And this is human reason. You would do the math. You would work 12 hours. So you would expect you should be paid somewhere around 12 times as much as the last ones. But then you see the paymaster approach you. You hold out your hand and you get one denarius. The same as those who only worked for an hour. Everyone is treated the same by the paymaster, regardless of the hours labored. Well, chances are you're left standing there in anger, bitter jealousy, resenting the master, despising the last ones because they got off with just as much money as you. Are you thinking, that's not fair? Well, that's not fair. You worked your tail off all day long in the hot sun. You worked your fingers to the bone. You got blisters. What do you got to show for it? The same as those lazy guys that no one would hire and only got there for the last hour. Those last guys were made equal to you. Well, that's when the master replies, am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? So the last will be first, and the first last. It's not fair. At least it doesn't appear fair according to generosity that we understand. But as we heard in the old text, God's ways are not our ways. Because remember, the first ones made an agreement. They had a contract. They were not shortchanged. They were paid exactly as promised. Excuse me. So here's the lesson of the parable. God always does what he wants with what is his. And who are you and I to begrudge God's generosity? He didn't have to allow you to be born. He didn't have to allow you to live for whatever years you live. Who are you to begrudge his generosity? Because the wonderful news is God is not fair. He is much greater than fair. He's gracious and merciful and forgiving. He is holy and just and righteous. And the good news is he does not give you what you deserve. And you are blessed because he has not given you what you deserve. Holy Scripture tells you what you and I deserve. St. James says, for whoever keeps the whole law but fails at one point has become guilty of it all. St. Paul says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Paul goes on to say, for the wages of sin is death. God doesn't give you what you deserve, but to all who are in Christ Jesus, he gives you what is undeserved. In his righteous generosity, he freely and liberally pours out on you imperishable divine grace. Grace given without regard of any merit or worthiness within you. His divine grace is his loving compassion towards sinners such as you and me, pouring out all the riches that Christ won for you. God's riches at Christ's expense for you. You don't deserve it, but you receive every bit of it because you are a baptized child of Christ. And what exactly are these riches? Well, those three Bible passages I just read, I stopped halfway through because they're making the point of the riches in Christ. St. James writes, for whoever keeps the whole law but fails at one point has become guilty of it all. But God's mercy triumphs over judgment. St. Paul says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Paul goes on to say, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know. Everybody knows that the last ones did not deserve, in human terms, to be paid the same as the first ones. But deserves have nothing to do with it. Because if everyone got what they deserved, Christ Jesus would have never gone to the cross. He is one of the first ones. He is the first one, the only Son of God, loved by God from before the foundation of the world. He is the first one who became the least. He became the last one hanging on the cross, so that by his death and resurrection, you become first in him. God makes no distinction. It doesn't matter if you were baptized when you were 3 days old or 3 days ago. God's generosity of grace overflows. It doesn't matter if you left everything behind and started following Jesus years ago, like the disciples did, or whether you were called by the Holy Spirit to faith as you are eating your oatmeal this morning. God treats all his children equally, generously, imperishable grace. All the believers receive the same wage, regardless of the length of their service or what they have accomplished, regardless of their zip code, their income bracket, or their good looks. And who are you and I to begrudge God's generosity? The wages paid out only appear unfair if you take your eyes off of the master, because everything you have and everything that you are is a gift to you from God the Father in heaven. It is all an undeserved, precious gift from God. Jesus purchased you with his innocent suffering and death. His holy, precious blood purchased you from your sin and out of the grave. It's undeserved, but he did it anyway. He reconciled you with the Father, freed you from sin, death, and the grave. And you're a sinner saved by grace alone, through faith alone, on the basis of Scripture alone. But God is the master. It's his prerogative, and he does with what is his as he pleases. What is his? Well, that's not just the things that you have. That is who you are. You are a child of Christ. You were made his in the waters of holy baptism. He called you to faith in the gospel, and he marked you with his name in baptism. And in this place, he personally feeds you with his holy word and with his body and blood given and shed for you. You are his. He does with you as he pleases. He promises to never leave you nor forsake you. But you're a sinner. It's not fair. You don't merit it. You certainly don't deserve it. But deserves have nothing to do with it. It's a gracious gift from God for all who believe. Because at the end of the day, what counts is God's generosity. His generosity in Christ. Deserves have nothing to do with it. On the last day, Christ will return. And until that day, when he brings his kingdom into its fullness, you have been called as workers in the vineyard. Go and be generous. St. Paul would call you to imitate Christ. As believers in Christ, be generous to your neighbor. Works of good deeds and works, serving and loving others as Christ serves and loved you. Jesus, all who are in Christ Jesus receive from the Master what he deems best. And you have his promise that the last will be first and the first last. God's generosity is always way more than you and I deserve, and his ways are not our ways. You have his promise of forgiveness of sins, life, and eternal salvation, all for the sake of the one who did not deserve it, the last one, so that you could be the first in him. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.